All right. Now, in verse 15 and 16, it's interesting, the word let in verse 15 and 16 and the word dwell in verse 16 are both number 1774 in the Strong's Greek. And that word comes from number 3611, a word which means to occupy, to reside, or inhabit. In other words, to dwell in or with someone. And let's have somebody go to 2 Timothy 1. The word gets there, verse 14.
Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.
That doesn't sound right.
2 Timothy 1:14.
Oh.
Okay.
Who was tied to something?
Close.
Another 5 years in the lifetime.
That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us.
Okay. Let it dwell. Now, the fact that this word occurs twice, translated twice as let and once as dwell, in other words, three times this word occurs in these two verses, that fact indicates that the one who is indwelt must be so voluntarily and eagerly. That word let. Okay? If you let someone, you're surrendering to them. You're voluntarily letting something happen. So they must desire it, want it, and seek after to be dwelt in. And notice also when he says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That word is the Greek word logos. Again, it's not, there's another word that gets translated word, and that's the Greek word rhema. It's number 4407. Rhema is that which is spoken, a statement or a word. Logos goes far deeper than that and is far broader. Logos is the very idea, essence, and nature of something. That's why Jesus is the Logos of God, not just the Rhema. All right? He is the essence, the very idea of love of God. And that's what this word here is. It's Logos. It's not Rhema. So what Paul is saying there is, let the essence, let Jesus dwell in you, not just his sayings. All right? Many believers can and do quote many of Jesus' words. You've all heard believers do that. Did you ever read where it says, judge not, that you be not judged? No. Carolyn's obviously heard that. Okay? So they can and do quote many of Jesus' sayings, but they have no clue of his plan, purposes, or desires for them or others. The Rhema is there, if you will, the sayings, but the Logos, right over there. Let's have somebody go back to Ephesians 3. And whoever gets there, the first five verses.
For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Okay, and then verses 17 through 19. Maybe.
That Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Okay, so where are we going to find out about God's plans, purposes, and desires for this age and for us specifically? Paul. I love that statement that Paul made that our pastor quoted at least one time a while back, where he was writing to Timothy, I believe it was. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding all things. Didn't say, consider what Peter said or what James wrote. Consider what I say. Well, since most believers don't do that or won't do that, it's no wonder that they have no clue as to what's going on. Okay? So, a thankful heart that is letting the peace of God and the word of Christ dwell in them richly will not be able to refrain from worship and praise, and will thus spontaneously break forth in the singing of psalms and hymns, and in so doing, will edify and instruct its hearers. Okay? Do you ever walk around the house and singing Grace and Glory songs?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That happens all the time. The Lord will bring a, just drop one phrase from one song into my heart, and all of a sudden I find myself singing the song, and I'll sing it for the next 3 hours until he gives me something else. Okay. So, all right. Moving on to verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, this gets very interesting. The word whatsoever is number 3748 in the Strong's Greek. It's pronounced hostis, and it's very interesting because it's a compound word. It's composed of number 3739, which is a word that hosts or hosts, which means who, which, what, or that. And number 5100 or 5101, depending on who you read after. And that word means, is the word tis, and it means what or whatever, which or that. Now, what's interesting is the difference, this word, these two words, 5100 and 5101, and again, depending on which commentator you read after, someone will say it came from 5100, someone will say it came from 5101. It's the same word, except for if you go to the ancient classical Greek texts, they made a distinction between the two versions of this word by the use of an apostrophe. It's a three-letter word for crying out loud, but they put an apostrophe or a space in there. The one word, and they both mean the same thing, whatever, which, that, but the one way, it's a statement, okay? Whatever, which, that. The other version is a question. What happened? Or which way did they go? Or where did they go? So it's very, very subtle the way this happens. So when Paul says, whatsoever you do, it can be taken either way. He's saying, whatsoever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Or he can be saying, whatsoever you do, what are you doing? Whatsoever you do, if you're going to do it in the name of the Lord. All right? Really interesting. However, what's interesting too is that here, the word whatsoever is accompanied by number 3956, which is the word all. Or, no, excuse me, it's not in there, not there. But in the Greek, it's accompanied by the Greek word tas, which means all, any, or every. So really, you could take it if you wanted to take it more literally, this verse would say, the first part of this verse would say, regardless of what you do, do it all in the name of the Lord. So it combines the question and the statement. Whatever you're going to do, and whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Okay? Now, if you think about it, let's have somebody go to John chapter 8. Christ in us will fulfill verse 17 by our electing. We have let twice up there in verse 15 and 16. If we will let, he will fulfill what Paul is saying in verse 17 in us. We just have to let. Words in John 8, verse 29.
And these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
Okay. Jesus said, I always do those things which please the Father, which you would expect, right? He can't do anything but that.
Right.
Well, guess who lives in you?
Amen.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then in chapter 15, verse 51.
It stops at 27.
Oh. Okay. Maybe the fingers got ahead of one another. How about 15:15?
I'll try that. Henceforth I will call you not servants, but the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
Okay. That applies as well. What was the verse you quoted, James, about the vine and the branches?
15:5.
Okay, that was the one I had in mind too.
Do you remember that?
15:5. So, again, let's just let. All right? Jesus will do it if we will just let. All right. Now, again, the theme of Colossians is Christ being all and in all and through all. All right? So, in the next nine verses, that is verse 18 through verse 1 of chapter 4, we find his influence in each member of the family of God. And we are, according to Paul in Galatians 6:10, we are the household of faith. Okay? Well, the first in order to be admonished is the wife. How many of you men in the room still believe in and practice opening the door for your wife, sisters, and
children? Amen.
You're putting her first.
Wonderful.
Ooh. The Lord put her first here. Interesting. Okay. Well, according to Genesis 2:18, Eve was to be an help or aid for Adam. That word aid is number 58:28, if you want to look it up. She was to be one meet for him. And that phrase meet for, or appropriate for, is number 5048 in the Hebrew. And it's a preposition indicating before, in front of, conspicuous. There's the one out front again. Or corresponding to, equal to, or adequate to. Let's have somebody go to 1 Corinthians 11 and someone to Revelation 21. In other words, Eve was to be a help or an aid for Adam, corresponding to, equal to, or adequate to him. And as I read that, I thought about, well, the very fact that she's a helper and aid means that that Adam guy, he needs some help. God said it wasn't good for him to go all alone. Well, probably because he'd get himself in trouble. You know? So he needed a woman to keep an eye on him. Okay? Kind of monitor his daily activities, you know? 1 Corinthians 11, whoever's there, verse 7.
I think it would be appropriate if a man read that verse.
If a man read what verse?
For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man.
The woman is the glory of the man.
Amen.
Okay. Now, let's ask you another question. How many of you men in here who are married or have been married or have had girlfriends or significant others or whatever, how many of them of you, when you went out somewhere, the first thing you did when you went into a group of people or a room was you introduced your wife?
Sure.
She's your glory. Yeah. You're putting her first before yourself. Yeah. I want you to meet my wife. Yeah. Okay?
That's sweet.
Yeah. Interesting.
Thank you.
All right. Revelation 21, whoever's there, verse 9.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Okay, the Lamb's wife, who's going to be corresponding to, equal to, or adequate to the Lamb. Not that she's going to have to watch him, make sure it doesn't trip or something. Now, Sean, back to 1 Corinthians 11. What's interesting here is that this word that gets translated meat for, that Eve was to be meat for Adam, number 5048, what's interesting is that here alone, it has a Greek preposition prefixed to it, which it doesn't have in any other usage. And this prefix gives it a special sense to indicate Eve's likeness to Adam. Okay? She was like him. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Sean, verses 8 through 12.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels.
2:12.
Oh, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God.
Okay. How many of you women, you don't have to raise your hands or go on. How many of you women at one time or another have watched your husband and just shake your head? Okay, you're being a good helpmate because he needs aid. Sure. Okay, so getting into then what Paul says here in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Now, the word submit here is number 5293, and it means to place or arrange in order under. This same phrase, by the way, is addressed to Ephesian wives in 5:22. So, because we're heavenly ones, it's fitting for us in that respect. If somebody would go to Hebrews 13, similar to 1 Corinthians 16, this word is related to number 5226, which means to yield or submit under, and whoever's in Hebrews 13, read verse 17.
Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Okay. So here we have a general statement. Submit to those that have rule over you. Okay? So in other words, we're not to rise up against the camp commandant. Anybody seen that guy lately? No, doesn't exist. No. That's not what it's saying. It's important here to note that this submitting is neither, make note of this, it is neither the taking of an inferior place or a renouncing of one's own abilities.
Yeah.
Now, this principle applies to any relationship in the body. And I'll give you one example. And again, it applies to husband or wives, it applies to the body. Jesse's selection as pastor makes him no better than any of us. All right? He didn't select that place. He didn't run for office. He didn't self-appoint himself. He was chosen of the Lord.
Amen.
The same way that the Lord chose to put this little fingertip on the finger instead of sticking it off my ear. The Lord decides the place.
Amen.
Now, Jesse's being put in that place doesn't make me or you inferior to him in any way. It doesn't negate our own abilities to walk with God or to be testimonies or whatever else. It was God's selection of him. So, I hate to say this, but if you have a problem with some kind of relationship with that, go talk to God.
Amen.
Because that person didn't select that. They were appointed there. In turn, the same goes for me. I didn't select to be a teacher. I got appointed to it.
Amen.
It doesn't make me any more knowledgeable, capable, or give me any ability above you. I was simply put in that place. And that's the thought behind these two words of subjection. And again, I read you that statement. Yielding to this subjection is either the taking of an inferior place or the renouncing of one's own abilities.
Right.
It does neither of those. But again, in a relationship, somebody is selected by the Lord and put in a place for a purpose. Not because they're especially gifted above someone else, because the Lord selected it. Who was Moses over anybody else at that time? But he was selected. And he himself said, Lord, pick somebody else. And he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Okay, he said, Lord, pick somebody else. The Lord almost got angry with it. Over it. So, I hope I can drive home this point enough as we go through this thought of submission. We're going to have more that we can't get into tonight. We've got to quit. But I want you to see that when we are in whatever relationship in the body, when the Lord sees fit for you and I, you or I, to submit to someone else, it's not a slap in the face.
Right.
It's not saying that, well, you're just not as qualified as that other person. It has nothing to do with that.
Amen.
All right? So, we're going to close with that tonight. And we will carry on next time we get together. There's a lot more interesting and wonderful thoughts to bring out about this, but I hope it's been a blessing to you.